Today, I would like to talk about the friends and the family that we've lost during critical illness. Some family and friends just don't know how to help, I found. So the way that they help is kind of by walking away. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. So they tend to kind of just leave your side. And a lot of them do this, I found, because they don't want to make you cry. And I find that's really sad because as critically ill patients that have gone through trauma, we need to cry. We need to talk it out. Crying is healing, I found. And when loved ones and friends leave your side, it doesn't give you that opportunity to heal. And that's been really, really hard for me to deal with. A lot of friends and family just don't know what to say. They don't know what to say to somebody that's, was vibrant and working and active, and then all of a sudden she wakes up and she's paralyzed. So that's been quite a learning experience, something that again we've talked about that we don't learn in grad school.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, your host, speaker, and very passionate speech-language pathology advocate. You are listening to the Speechless SLP series with Vanessa Abraham, and you get a unique perspective in each one of these episodes on her journey being the speechless SLP in the ICU bed, unable to talk. So welcome to this series of the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. Glad you are here. Sit back, take a listen. So we all have best friends, right? True friends that we hope are just going to stick with us through thick and thin. In this Speechless series with Vanessa Abraham, she has learned that when she went through her medical crisis and one of the greatest challenges of her life, who her real true friends were. And today we're going to be talking with Ashley Reed and Vanessa Abraham. Ashley is Vanessa's true friend that stuck with her through everything as Ashley went from a thriving mom, speech pathologist, to an intensive care bed, unable to talk at all, and on our way out of everything. So let's welcome Ashley and Vanessa to our program. So welcome to this episode of the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. This is our Speechless series here with Vanessa Abraham and Ashley Reed. And I just recently found out Ashley's a speech pathologist as well. So that, I just couldn't be happier about that. This is our episode of the Speechless Real True Friend and the Gift of Paying It Forward. And these two SLPs have formed a very unique friendship coming through a very unique medical crisis. So let's jump on into our episode now and welcome Ashley and Vanessa. You already gave us our introduction, so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, and thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be a part of this.
We're happy you're here. This has been such a unique series rolling out. Vanessa and I chose the guest. Vanessa led the way and I added my input. Ashley, we would love to hear how you know Ashley and how your journey with her came to be.
So Vanessa and I met in the fall of 2018 when we were working together at the school district. I just started working for the school district coming from a background of acute care, transitioning from a background in pediatrics, or I'm sorry, in adults where, your patients aren't always stable to pediatrics where, they're just kind of running amok. It was difficult, but Vanessa was definitely there to kind of help with that transition. And then in the spring of 2019 was when the bond started to grow because that was when Vanessa got sick. And so we really only had from August to March to get to know each other. And I feel like we actually grew closer March of 2019 to today, which is interesting because that was the time where she was sick and then recovering.
Sometimes it's those events that really can create a bonding relationship.
Absolutely, for sure.
Vanessa, what do you remember?
I remember pretty much the same thing, from August to March, we were all in survival mode as SLPs. You know, we're trying to get assessments done, meetings done in time. We're all just, I always say that we're treading water from day one, or first day of school, to the last day of school. We're just busy, 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 and just trying to, you know, for Ashley, she's trying to navigate transitioning from the medical field into the schools. It's a crazy, crazy time. And then, as I said in my previous podcast, March came and boom, it hit me. And next thing I know, I'm in ICU.
Well, and what's wild about it is in March of 2019, we actually had the opportunity to go to CASHA. Our district was paying for us to, you know, go to CASHA, get our continuing education hours and courses and hold a booth there for recruitment. And a lot of us went because we're like, we need a break. And so we went to CASHA, and I actually was with Vanessa at CASHA just what, days or even like a week before, you know, she went down. So it was just, it was wild seeing her in that capacity, and then not even, you know, less than 2 weeks later, you know, she was in ICU, intubated.
I love how your friendship starts off with Vanessa giving to you, Ashley, helping pull you on to this setting. And then when the tables turn, it seems like without a hesitation, you were there back for her. And those are some of the best friendships. The genuine, I give to you, you give to me.
Back to what I was saying before, some people don't know how to help. Mm-hmm. And I think Ashley, I know she's one of those people that knows how to help. She knows how to rise to the challenge and wants to help, saw a need, and she knew too that her knowledge and her expertise would help my family.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think as an SLP, when one of your own goes down, it hits you in a totally different way, because they're then placed in the position of going from a clinician to a patient. And that alone is a transition. But then going from a walking and talking clinician to a nonverbal and just paralyzed patient, you know, that in itself is just, it rocks your world. And then when it's somebody that is so close to home, it hits even harder. And then as a mother, you're like, oh my gosh, let's add another layer. Like, how many layers is this cake? Like, have that vision of Sleeping Beauty, you know, when the fairies are trying to hold up all those layers of the cake with the broomstick, you know, because it's just getting so high. And like, that's what it was like. It was just like, there was one layer after another when it came to Vanessa's illness. And it was just, everything hit so hard. And there were a lot of tears from the team who had been there for a long time. And it was really intense.
I think my medical SLPs kind of felt that way too, of seeing me laying there, even though they didn't know me prior, but that whole thought of, wow, that could be me. Yeah. How easily that could be me. You wake up one day and you're fine and you're a busy working mom, and the next day you wake up and, wow, I don't feel very good. It's paralyzed.
Right. And that was another piece of it that I just remembered is, so when I worked at the hospital, during my clinical fellowship year, there was another SLP that had just finished her clinical fellowship, so I came on right after her, and her and I became close, and we would, you know, hang out, you know, we'd have lunch together every day, we'd hang out outside of work, and then she actually moved to San Diego. And she had moved to one hospital, and then she had gotten hired on at UCSD Medical Center. But her and I stayed connected, and I don't know if it's just the SLP way or what, but, you know, we make so many connections along the way. And for me personally, I like to continue to keep up with people that I've met along the way. And so with this SLP, I stayed in contact with her when she went to San Diego. And just, you know, not too long later, Vanessa gets this diagnosis, and then we find out that she's getting transferred to San Diego, and not just San Diego, to UCSD. And so I contacted my friend and I just said, hey, here's what's going on. We have it. One of us is coming. One of us is being taken there. Please, like, I have the chills, like, just saying it. Like,
yeah, you gave me goosebumps.
She is one of us. Like, we need to take care of her. And she was on it, and she was, and she's an amazing SLP. And she, you know, just listened and grabbed on and never looked back. And she was super helpful in that process too. But it was just that, you know, things coming full circle of, that never would have happened had I not like left there, left the hospital and joined the school district, kept in contact with her. And then it was just really neat how everything kind of came together in a way to help one of our own. Just those connections.
And that SLP that is at UCSD that Ashley is referring to will be on the show. So that's exciting.
Excellent.
So that's going to come full circle.
Yep. Another podcast as part of our series. So two other speech pathologists coming on. So
they were talking. They were talking behind the scenes while I was in my first ICU setting. So they were talking behind the scenes. Ashley's letting her know that this is what's going on. So
yes, with permission, of course.
Yes. Right. Right.
You know, as always. So it was just, you know, there was enough information being shared that was allowed to be shared. Cause you know, in that, in those situations, it's really hard, you know, you don't want to cross any ethical lines and ethical boundaries. So, I mean, that was hard too. You know, when you know somebody that's treating your friend, but you can't like share all of that information. I mean, that was a whole other layer.
Right.
Yeah, my husband was very involved too at this point, talking with people, keeping the communication open, because he knew that my SLP team back at my school site was a valuable source of information. He knew that, wow, you know, a lot of these girls have, like Ashley, have worked in the medical setting. So he was leaning on them for a lot of advice as well.
Go ahead.
Text, we had a group text going on with Vanessa's husband and three or four of us other SLPs in the school district. We actually all worked at the same trauma center in the Valley. So
it's a small world. Dale is also coming on. Dale is Vanessa's husband. He's coming on as a guest as a podcast on the podcast as well. So I love these stories. And people have asked, why, you know, what's the best thing about podcasts? And it's like meeting people like you who have these lives and these passions, and they do, they feel, they love, they care, and they give. It's incredible. So Ashley, you helped Vanessa's husband navigate the rehab world.
Yes. So I kept in contact with Dale, partly because of just some of the care that she was receiving when she left UCSD. She was sent to a facility where it was like, of all the places that you would want your family member to go, this was not necessarily the place that you would want them to go to. For lack of better terms, I was a little bit fearful when that happened. And so I spoke with Dale and I said, I need to know what your insurance is. I need to know what, you know, where exactly Vanessa is in her recovery. What, you know, let me know what type of level of assist she is. How is she doing with her eating? I need to know all of these things, because I'm going to do everything that I can to get her to the facility in Palm Springs. So she is near her family. She's going to get great care. We know all the people over here. And so I was working with Dale. I contacted the rehab director over at the hospital, and we were able to work it out, and we got Vanessa transferred out of there and brought back to her home, to where her family could come and visit, to where friends could come and visit. And so it was a great connection, and it was really nice to be able to work with Dale, because, you know, when you are working in acute care and you're working with these families where you don't know the patient, mm-hmm. you don't know the families, mm-hmm. You know, you still do whatever you can to help right. them feel comfortable, to help them feel a sense of peace in a very chaotic storm. And with Dale, it was the same thing, only intensified, because again, Vanessa was one of us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was, I'm going to do whatever I can to get her to a place where she'll receive great care. But also, Dale, like, we are here for you too. Like, we are here as a team to help you navigate through this process, because, you know, you need some help. You have some questions, like whatever it is. Like, so anytime, day or night, like, you contact us and we'll be there.
I remember you coming to visit at the mm-hmm. rehab facility. And it was really touching to me, because I was so worried about him. I was worried mm-hmm. about his mental state. And I remember, Ashley, you looking at him, and it still hits me in the heart. But you looking at him and saying, what do you need? And of course, him, he goes, I don't need anything. Just take care of Vanessa. That's, you know, the type of person he is. Guy, he wants his wife taken care of. He wants everything fixed. But I was so grateful for that, because that took a little bit of load off of me, thinking, okay, I don't have to worry about him. Ashley's asking him what mm-hmm, he needs. Mm-hmm. Now I can focus on making sure my daughter's taken care of with my parents. Mm-hmm. I think that was just huge, because as SLPs, we treat the whole family in some of these mm-hmm. situations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the uniqueness of being an acute care therapist comes in, because, you know, when you're in that place of, you know, you have your patient in the ICU bed, like, you know, pre-COVID, those patients weren't alone. They had family members present. And so you are not only there to help rehab the patient, but you're there to also educate the family and be mm-hmm. there for the family. And so you're having to split your knowledge, your emotions, everything between the patient and the family. And so, you know, when you come from that background, there is that heavy emphasis on helping the family members as well. And so, you know, the family education is a huge part in recovery for the patient, because if the family member doesn't know how to help the patient, then, you know, they're going to, you know, they could potentially walk out of there feeling lost and confused and just, you know, even more burdened than when they went in.
Since this is the Speechless podcast, mm-hmm. what was it like working with Vanessa and her family in this comprehensive way that you do when she was speechless and couldn't communicate?
So it was really cool in seeing everybody come together in that moment when the speech team, when we found out that Vanessa was intubated, but asking for an AAC device through like written communication, because at the time she was still able to write, we all jumped on it. And so in the moment of creating a low-tech AAC board for her, you know, it was, oh my gosh, like this person has no other way to communicate. So it really brought in that personal component of, we know her and we know she's vocal, and now she has lost that ability. So, you know, especially when it's somebody, you know, you do whatever you can to provide a mm-hmm. means of communication for her. So it's okay, how are we going to help her to communicate? How many pictures are we able to put on a page? And so it's like, well, let's just make a book. Here's for, you know, hygiene needs. Here's for this need. Here's for that need. And so, you know, I think our lead speech pathologist went and dropped off a laminated AAC board for Vanessa back when she had like first been admitted into the ICU in the Valley. And then when she transferred to UCSD, it was, you know, again, Vanessa wanted to communicate. She was like so adamant about communicating and recovering. And it was, we all kind of had to come together and helping her understand, like, we know you want to like get up and do like 5 laps around the ICU station, but you also need to rest a little bit in between. She's such a go-getter. But everybody came together, so she was not alone. We did everything we could to help her feel like she wasn't alone in the process. And everyone was willing to drop whatever they were doing in that moment to provide her with a way to communicate, no matter what that was.
What comes to my mind is the phrase, teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a great team, and as awful as this whole journey was, I'm glad I had the expertise and knowledge of speech pathology, mm-hmm. speech pathologists.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for me, but my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very comforting to him to know that, okay, I've got Ashley's number. She understands the system. She understands mm-hmm. an insurance. She understands swallowing. She, you know, we had people to rely on, and that is just huge.
And she understands pulling you back into the working realm. Tell us a little bit about what it was like helping her return to work, given the cognitive deficits and the COVID virtual services and all of that.
It was a scary time. It was very challenging, you know. Coming back to work after a long period of time, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of triggers, you know, walking back down the halls, seeing things again. A lot of those PTSD triggers, a lot of deficits with attention. And in special ed, we have a lot of acronyms. I was having a hard time remembering what all of these acronyms meant. I was very fortunate when I did come back on that Ashley was assigned to split the caseload with me at the school. So I was very fortunate in the fact that I had her to rely on. I could call her, ask her questions. Hey, how do we do this again? Am I missing something? Did something change? Things change every 3 weeks sometimes. So it was nice to be able to like text her and just say, hey, you know, do I check this box on this? Do I do this? How do I, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a blessing. And then on top of that, coming back into a COVID world where everything was virtual, sitting down at the computer all day, you know, your body aches and is sore from sitting down, staring at a screen. So I'd frequently have to get up, stretch, walk, move. It was just a different environment to come back to.
Yeah, we spent, you know, a fair amount of time, not just texting, but on the phone, as well as, you know, doing meeting on Zoom, sharing the screen. Okay, here's how this works. Step one, step two, step three. But then when we returned in the fall, I will not forget this moment. So we don't split a caseload anymore, because I'm just part-time now and just at one school. And so but what's great is my school is right across the street from her school. So she's at the high school, I'm at the elementary school. And so when we returned in August, you know, Vanessa and I mean, we talk just about every single day, whether it's like a work day or on a weekend, like we talk just about every day. And so we returned to school going from virtual to a little bit of in person to now we're fully back in person. I mean, and it was a transition for sure. So she texted me and she said, basically, like, nobody has used my office in 2 years and there is stuff everywhere. And she's like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to do. And I could hear it in her voice, like just the overwhelming sensation was starting to kind of rear its ugly head. And I could just hear what was happening. And so I just said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And so just kind of drove across the street and got to her school. And I mean, it was a mess for sure. I could see how anybody would feel overwhelmed with what, you know, what she had walked into. And so we just kind of worked together and worked through it, moved some tables out of the way. I'm like, you just sit here. And I'm like, where, you just tell me where you want this stuff. She's like, I don't even know. I'm like, okay, then I'm going to put it there. And if you don't like it, you can move, you know, we can move it later, but let's just at least get some of this stuff out of here. So, you know, moved tables and boxes because it was like a storage room in there. I'm like, who needs 500 pounds of hand sanitizer like in one spot?
I remember that. Big bottle of hand sanitizer. It's all of that is so true. I came back, and it was just so frustrating. Every summer it seems like I come back and, like Ashley said, my room hadn't been used in years, and there were tables in there, and it was just turned upside down. And for me to come back to work and see that, I just sat down and I collapsed and I cried. I just sat there staring at a wall, crying. And I remember, I reached out to Ashley and I was like, I don't even know where to begin. I just couldn't even find the words to describe how frustrating and overwhelmed. And again, Ashley rose to the challenge. Next thing I know, she's walking down the hall and says, all right, put me to work. And she moved tables and, you know, because I looked at all of this stuff thinking, I'm not strong enough to lift these tables and move these. I can't be bending out, moving this stuff around, lifting. So again, she just rose to the challenge. In 10 minutes, it was all cleaned up and moved, and I was able to move forward, but one step at a time.
Yeah. And it's still, you know, it's still a process. It's been really neat to just kind of watch the progression of recovery with Vanessa, you know, returning to work after being gone for a year, almost a year and a half, and coming back into a realm where, you know, you're an in-person SLP and now you have to be a virtual SLP. That alone is challenging for the everyday speech language pathologist. Mm-hmm. But then you bring in some of those cognitive deficits and those mental health things that, you know, occur following, you know, a significant life change that Vanessa had encountered, you know, that brings a whole other piece to it. And so, you know, just helping her navigate through it, you know, even just in the beginning, kind of helping her find standard scores, you know, looking through the manual and converting a raw score into a standard score, you know, it was like, okay, well, you know, you're starting back, almost like going back to graduate school that point. And now, you know, it's, you know, she's able to not only find those standard scores on her own, but, you know, write the reports and, you know, manage, do all the case managing abilities. And so, you know, she went from not being able to score a protocol to now being able to test and score the protocols. And so it's been really neat to have a front row seat to her recovery, and such a blessing and an honor to, you know, walk alongside her in it and to, you know, hey, I have a quick question. Okay, call me, you know, and helping her walk through that. You know, she has persevered through so much, and it's been amazing to see how far she has come. And I know that there are days where she's just doesn't feel like she's, you know, enough or adequate, but it's like, no, like you are so much more than where you think you are. And she alone has changed the way that I practice.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah. How has this changed the way you approach being a speech language pathologist?
Yeah. So, you know, as I've said many times, when it's one of your own that goes through something like this, it really changes your outlook and your perspective, and it makes you so much more grateful for the things that we have. You know, as a speech language pathologist, there is a lot of power that comes with that role, whether it's in acute care or in public education or in private practice. You know, we are not just treating patients, you know, we are evaluating, we are diagnosing, and then we are coming up with appropriate treatment plans for them. But what this experience has done for me personally is I feel like it's made me even more empathetic and has brought in a more personal component, as far as just being more sensitive to having those difficult conversations with whether it's an adult patient or a family member. You know, it's really helped me to explain things in a way where the person understands the diagnosis, but then also it has helped me to remain more patient while having those difficult conversations and building in additional time to allow for those moments of tears and those moments mm-hmm. of questions. So
final question. This time has gone by fast. From each of your perspectives as true friends, what advice would you give to another friendship that's going through trials like this? What do you want others to know about how to feel and how to help? Not how to feel, how to help, what to say, what to do.
Honestly, I think just your presence alone goes a long way. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we have to say something, right? So I think if Vanessa texts me and says, I'm having a really hard day, instead of, you know, trying to think of some thing to say back as far as like, you know, oh yeah, you know, every day's a little bit different, you know, like really validate the feelings of, I'm really sorry you're having a hard day. And what can I do to help you? But also, I think a good way to do it is sometimes don't even give an option. I'm like, I'm bringing you dinner tonight. Your options are chicken or beef. Like, you know, don't be afraid to be silent, but be present.
Silent but present.
You nailed it.
Yes, she did.
She nailed it. She really nailed it. The only other thing that I would add to that would be allowing that person to cry. Sometimes that patient just needs to cry. And a lot of people, friends, family, oh gosh, they cried. Let's not talk about this. This is a trigger for them. I don't want to make her cry. So let's not talk about it. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about anything other than the illness because I don't want to make her cry. But that's counterproductive. Allow them to cry. Be present. Be present while they cry. Let them get that out. Crying is healing. Mm-hmm. And I think if you deny them that opportunity to cry or talk it out by being present in their life, you're not helping them achieve their goal of ultimate healing. Because part of healing is letting it out, talking about it, crying.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for coming on to this episode today.
Thank you so much.
A goosebump episode again, Vanessa.
I know. Got them too. Had some tears in my eyes too.
Yeah. This is excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Vanessa, I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you for being there by my side and being one of my teammates that has helped me get to where I am today. Really takes a village, and I'm grateful for my village.
Of course.
Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, hey, SLPs, that concludes this episode of the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. Please visit my website at freshslp.com, follow me on Instagram, or jump on Facebook to connect in our safe and friendly Fresh SLP community, where we are empowering new and transitioning SLPs. If you found value in this episode or in any way had an aha moment or I gave you a fresh perspective, please show me some SLP love and support me on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, or subscribe to me on YouTube. You got this.